Well, I believe at the time our daughter Kayla was probably about 10. Our son Max was 9, and they were desperate for a trampoline. Desperate. I think our kids did this on more than one occasion. When they were little, they made a PowerPoint. Literally, they made a PowerPoint. And so after dinner one night, they pulled up the laptop, and we had a trampoline PowerPoint. And it was all the reasons that their lives would be a train wreck if they didn't get a trampoline, and how all their friends had a trampoline. And so after a couple of weeks of them just wearing Christy and I down, we relented and purchased a trampoline. Now, I had not jumped on a trampoline ever before, let alone assembled one. And so we get this massive box. It takes all four of us to get it from the boot of the car to the back garden. And I start laying out all the pieces, and I get the instructions, and I kind of get the general gist of it about what needs to go where. And I do know what a trampoline kind of looks like. It needs to be round, and there's a net and all these things. And so we begin to assemble the trampoline. And if you've ever assembled one, you know that it's easy going until you get to the springs. Yeah? And when you have to put the springs on to get the tension, it is brutal. And so I lost all of the fruit of the spirit like in about 35 seconds. Like, oh, yep, there went patience. It fell off. And there went gentleness. Like, it's just falling off. And I'm like, leave me alone, everybody. I got to, you know, and man, Christy will tell you, blisters on the hands, like my knuckles are bleeding, trying to pull these, you know, things. And Christy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm trying to do a spring. Why are you doing it? I don't know, you know, and working so hard. And so I'd been at this for hours, and getting these springs, a really difficult thing. And so I'm about an hour and a half into this, and our sweet, precious Kayla comes up and says, Dada, she called me Dad, she said, Dada, I found something in the box, but I don't know what it is. And I was like, well, no, the box is empty. And she's like, no, Dada, there's something in there. And she reaches in the box and pulls out this weird-looking thing, and I flip back to the beginning of the directions, and it's the tool to do the springs. Yep. And then, of course, the questions begin, why didn't you use that from the beginning? And I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you go inside? You know how it is. And so the whole time I'm like killing myself because I didn't have the tool. But the tool was there the whole time. It was just a foot away, but I never utilized the tool to get the job done. And when I think of that, I'll be honest, sometimes I can be that way with prayer. They're like, here is prayer. Here's this amazing gift of God where at any time of the day, any location, I can come into the very throne room of the sovereign King of the universe. And sometimes I try to do it on my own. And I struggle and I fight and I lose patience because I'm trying to do this Christian thing in my own strength. And there right beside me is the gift and tool of prayer. And so maybe you're a bit like me in that. And if so, be encouraged, because James has much to say to us. And so as we complete our overview of the book of James, James is going to end his letter discussing prayer. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And we're just going to spend a few moments together looking at what it means to be a praying disciple and really the blessing of prayer. The blessing of prayer. Now, does anyone have the page number in the church Bible? 1216. Thank you, Judy. So before we read scripture, I just want to give a disclaimer. And so I want to make sure you hear this well. And here's the disclaimer, that the purpose of what we're going to read and look through is not so we feel guilty. It's not so there's a sense of condemnation. There's not going to be any kind of you need to do better, pray harder. Like that's not the end goal, is it? But the end goal is that we would just be reawakened to this beautiful tool and gift that God has given us as his people, and that our passion for that would be renewed. And so there is no condemnation in Christ. There's no guilt here, but it's just a revisiting of, yeah, like God's given us this and it's precious and amazing, and I want to be a part of it. Okay, so there's your disclaimer. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And this is what James writes for us. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Well, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Then let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, that whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and true. And Lord, we just pray for the next few moments as we just look through it. God, as always, we just want to confess that we cannot understand your word without your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we humbly ask that you would open our minds, that you would give us understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would soften our hearts, that we wouldn't simply understand your word, but that we would be transformed by it. So Lord, we pray that you would take your word today, change us, make us more like Jesus for his glory. We ask in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Let's just quickly look through this passage. And I just want us to kind of revisit what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and the blessing of prayer that he's given us. And they're going to come right from the passage. So number one, we see this, that as a disciple of Jesus, I must understand the purpose of prayer. As a disciple of Jesus, I need to understand the purpose of prayer. What is prayer all about, right? What is prayer? Maybe like many of you, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up going to church. And so after I became a follower of Jesus, prayer was foreign to me. I didn't understand what prayer was about. I was quite intimidated about prayer. Like, what if I say the wrong words and all of these things. And so what we need to understand is the purpose of prayer, right? And so he gives us a bit of that here in verses 15 and 16. Look what he says. He says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, they will be forgiven, right? And so we kind of see this dual purpose in prayer, that through prayer we ask God to provide for our physical and spiritual needs, right? Now, there are many aspects of prayer, and James is just giving us two. But two things that we do in prayer is that we ask God to provide our physical needs, and we ask God to provide our spiritual needs, and then we intercede. Intercession is just a fancy word that means talking to God about someone else, right? Just in a good way, right? Talking to God about someone else, like, Lord, would my neighbor Dave, Lord, would you provide for his physical needs? Like, Lord, he's lost his job. So would you just bless Dave and provide for them? Lord, you know that Dave doesn't know you. He doesn't understand the gospel. And so, Lord, spiritually, would you just work in Dave's life and draw him to yourself, right? And so he says here, in this context, there's a purpose of prayer of asking God to meet our physical and spiritual needs. And we actually see this in other prayers, including the Lord's Prayer. Remember the disciples come to Jesus? And ask a really relevant question. They say, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And we've probably, most of us have heard the Lord's Prayer at some point, maybe growing up in school or at some point we've heard it. And do you remember this line in the Lord's Prayer? He says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. That's physical need, right? We need bread to live. And then he immediately says, and forgive us our trespasses or debts, and deliver us from evil, right? So as Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he says, look, ask God to meet your physical needs, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, would you meet our physical needs? But then Jesus says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? And there's a spiritual dynamic. And they'll say, and deliver us from evil, right? And so we see it in Jesus. We see it here in James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. And he's giving a very similar model of prayer that his half-brother Jesus gave us, which is we pray for God to meet our physical needs, and we pray for God to meet our spiritual needs. It is one of the many purposes of prayer. Here's something I have learned in my walk with Jesus over many years. It's this, that God hasn't always given me everything I wanted, but by his grace, he's always given me everything I needed. I haven't necessarily always got everything I wanted. And by the way, most of the time I have. But he's always given me what I needed. Philippians 4, right? The Apostle Paul writes, "For our God, you know, shall provide all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Whatever we need, there's a promise he will meet it. And we, Christy and I, over these many years, we've been married 32 years, have just seen God provide in miraculous ways. So even recently, our son Max, who's in university, he's a music major, and he needed a new guitar, and a very special, specific guitar for his studies. And so he FaceTimes us, and he kind of preps us really well. He's like, "How are you guys doing? I really miss you so much." And I kind of pull myself out of the camera, and I look at Chris, and I'm like, "He wants a lot of money." Like, the more he says, "I miss you," you're like adding zeros to the dollar amount. So he tells us about this guitar, and we're like, "All right, if you have to have it, you have to have it." And so we didn't have the money. It was almost 1,000 American dollars. And so we were like, "Well, if he has to have it." And so we put it on credit card, and we're just like, "Well, Lord, we believe you'll provide for that." And it was a week later, I guess, that I get an email from our organization that we work with, and the email is from the finance department, and it says, "We're really sorry, and we're sure you found this, but we realized that last year, right, in 2023, we did not pay you the full amount that we were supposed to, and so in your next check will be the money we owe you." We didn't pay attention, we didn't know that, and I kid you not, it was for almost the exact amount of Max's guitar. There was $20 over. And we did not send it to Max. We had a pizza night at our house. "And I shall provide all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Well, purpose of prayer. We come and Lord, would you work? We pray for the salvation of those who don't know Jesus. We pray for brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling, that they would walk in victory. We pray for physical needs. We pray for spiritual needs. It's a purpose of prayer. But secondly, we see this. As a disciple of Jesus, I need to know the purpose of prayer, but then I can experience the power of prayer. I can experience the power of prayer. Look what he says in verse 16. In verse 16, he says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, this is one of the probably only verses I have memorized in the King James because I like the way it sounds. It sounds very like Shakespearean. And it says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Make a great bumper sticker, would it not? The fervent prayer of a righteous believer availeth much. The thing is this, that there is power in prayer, amen? That when God's people pray, the power of God falls. We see it all throughout Scripture. We see it with Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Jesus and the apostles and everyone in between. When men and women earnestly and fervently seek God in prayer, God shows up and works for his glory and the good of his people. He works through prayer for his glory and for the good of his people. John Knox was a Scottish, what we call reformer. John Knox was a man who loved Jesus, and he was up in Scotland in the 1500s, and he began to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, to preach the word in a way that at that time the established church did not do. And they felt really threatened by it. And so Mary, Queen of Scots, began to have this run-in with John Knox and persecute him it became very heated, and it looked like he was going to be arrested and maybe even martyred. And in the midst of this, this is what Mary, Queen of Scots, writes in her journal about John Knox. And this is what she said, and I quote, "I fear John Knox's prayers more than an army of 10,000 men. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of 10,000 men." There is power when God's people pray. Amen. Years ago, we were in Africa doing some mission work, and we were living with a Zulu family, and they took us one day to a gold mine. And so we go to this gold mine to preach the gospel, and this gold mine is massive. And there are dormitories, and the men live there at the gold mine. There were about 6,000 men living at this gold mine. And it's just a den of iniquity. And so we turn up, and honestly, like the you could literally see the smoke clouds of cannabis as you got out. It was just a hopeless, desperate place. And so we get out, and I look at Maruti, Pastor Dave, and I'm like, what do we do? He's this big Zulu man. And he says, you start preaching, and I'll translate. I'm like, all right. And so there were about eight of us believers, and so we start singing some songs, and people gather around, and there's probably about 100, would you say, Christy, about 100 men have gathered around. And so I start preaching. So I preach a bit. It's translated in Zulu. I preach a bit. It's translated in Zulu. And all of a sudden, this man comes forward and just starts screaming. Just starts screaming. And so I look at my translator, and I'm like, what's happening? He said, he's a witch doctor, and he's telling people not to listen to you. And I'm like, yikes, we don't have those in North Carolina. What do I do? Like, what do I do? And he's like, you've got to preach harder. And so I start preaching harder, and he translates, and then the witch doctor goes, and it becomes a tennis match. And I kid you not, people are like, And then the interpreter just said, you got to preach harder, you got to preach harder. I'm like, mate, I'm giving it all I got. Like, there's nothing left. And all of a sudden, the witch doctor stops. Just stops in the middle of a sentence and stares us down and hangs his head and walks away. And men begin to come forward and ask if they can know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I turn around, and the eight believers who were with me were laying on the ground, prostrate, praying and calling out to the Lord. And the power of God through their prayers fell, and the witch doctor had nothing to say. And men were saved and came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is power in the prayers of God's people. I'll be the first to confess, sometimes I've said things like, well, all we can do is pray. As if somehow that's like God's plan Z that doesn't work. All we can do is pray. Really? No. When we pray, the power of God comes to work. Amen. Do you believe that? Absolutely. Now listen, doesn't mean God's always going to do it the way we would do it. But I can tell you this much, he'll always do it better. His plans are perfect. And he's always working for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Right, so we see the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer. Thirdly, church, we see this, that as a disciple of Jesus, I must understand the person of prayer. We see the purpose of prayer, we see the power of prayer, but now we see the person of prayer that James mentions. And look here at verse 17. And this is what he says. He says, Elijah was a human being. Because just pause for a minute. Maybe you're like me, and you read these things in the Bible, and you think, well, that's well and good, but I'm no Moses. Like that's well and good, but I'm no Ruth. Like that's well and good. And so it's almost like James anticipates that. And this is what he says. He says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And I love that. I'm so glad that God put that in the Bible. Because he simply says, hey, look, Elijah, you know, he put his robe on. I started to say one leg at a time, but that's not how robes work. But he got dressed just like we do, amen? He's just a man. He says, look, the power is not in the man. The power is in the God who's in the man. The power is not in the woman. The power is in the Holy Spirit who is in the woman, right? And so he says, just listen, just be encouraged. And so when we look at the person of prayer, the person I'm referring to is you and me. Like if you were a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, if you love Jesus and have given your life to follow him, like you have complete access to the same God that Moses, Elijah, and the disciples had access to. In fact, Jesus says this in John 14. Jesus says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. I mean, just marinate on that for just one moment. Like, look at that. This is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity who we sang about a few moments ago, right? And this is what he says. I tell you the truth, disciple. I tell you the truth, right? Anyone who believes in me, and that word there, belief, is to place faith in, to place trust in, will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. And what he's kind of referencing there is, I'm going to die. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm eventually going to go back to be with the Father. And when that happens, John 14, he says, who's going to come? The Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going to go. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the works I've done, you will do even greater. And it's amazing because we immediately see it in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Like immediately, Peter, the train wreck disciple, sees more people come to Christ in one sermon than it seems that Christ saw in 3 years of his ministry. You ever thought about that? Like all of a sudden, these disciples who were a bit at times like Keystone Cops, are they not? And now that we get to Acts chapter 1 and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus references in this verse, everything changes. And the world is set on fire by 12 men, fishermen mainly, who filled with the Holy Spirit of God, transformed the world, and you and I sit here this morning as a result. Amen? And so Jesus says, listen, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do amazing things for God's glory, right? And so maybe you don't think of yourself as a prayer warrior, whatever that even means, right? Maybe you don't think of yourself as like a person of prayer. Maybe you think, well, that's really reserved for super spiritual people. No, James comes against that here and says, no, we're human just like they were. And by the way, can I tell you what? I believe they would change places with us in a minute. Moses had to go meet with God. For you and I, God lives inside of us. It's a better deal. Amen? I mean, Moses would have to go to a mountain to meet with God, couldn't touch the mountain or he would die. I wake up every morning and the Holy Spirit is alive in me. Moses would switch with me in a heartbeat. And so the person of prayer, right? Prayer is not about impressing people. I've maybe shared with you before that we had a man in our church in America and he was very, very soft-spoken. And just an incredible prayer warrior. He was retired. At that point, he was in his 70s. And he had a wood shop back behind his house. And I would go in his wood shop to talk to him. And his name was C.O. Smith. And Mr. Smith, on the walls, all four walls of his wood shop, just had names written down. And as he would go to each part of his wood shop to do work, he would pray for the people on that wall. And he was a very quiet man. I mean, spoke at a whisper. You had to lean in. And never forget, one Sunday, he was called on to dismiss us in the Sunday service. And it was quite a big room. There were probably about 500 people there, and you really couldn't hear him. He was just very soft-spoken, and you kind of were listening. Is it over yet? Is it not over yet? And finally, the prayer ends, and I'm standing out in kind of the lobby saying goodbye to people as they leave. And as Mr. C.O. Smith comes up, I'm shaking hands with him, and one of our older women made a beeline over, and she says, Mr. Smith, I have a problem with your prayer. And he says, oh my, what happened? And she said, I couldn't hear you. And he says, well, that's okay. I wasn't talking to you. Mr. Smith, one old lady, Neil. Prayer's not about impressing people. It's not about using the right words. It's just about talking to God about the needs of others and the needs that you have. Amen. So we see the purpose, the power, the person, but then lastly, we see the promise of prayer. We see the promise of prayer. Look what he says in verse 18. Verse 18, he says, again, he, Elijah, remember, he's a man just like us, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. The heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. There's a promise there, and the promise is this, that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. This is what John, and we just saw what John wrote in the Gospel of John. This is what John writes in the letter of 1 John. Look what he says here. John says, and we are confident that he, meaning Jesus, we are confident that Jesus hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Wow. Like, look at that one more time. We are confident that Jesus hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Is that not amazing? Like, Lord, save my neighbor Dave because that pleases you. Lord, provide for my family because that pleases you. Lord, let justice reign in our society because that pleases you. Lord, may your church grow in compassion for that pleases you. We don't have to look far in Scripture to see what pleases God. And when we pray according to what pleases him, he promises to do what? To answer. Now, he doesn't always answer the way we would anticipate, and he doesn't always answer when we would anticipate. But bless God, he always answers. Amen, church? He always answers. There's a promise of answered prayer. A promise of answered prayer. Maybe you've heard the story of Helen Rosevere. Helen Rosevere was a missionary. She's from Northern Ireland. She just died probably about 10 years ago. And she spent almost her entire life in what then was called Zaire, which is now the African Republic of Congo. And she went to medical school at Oxford, and after graduating medical school while at Oxford, someone shared the gospel with her. She became a believer, and she decided to give her life to go and help provide free medical care for those who couldn't afford it. And so God, in his sovereignty, sent her to Zaire, where she went through horrendous things, if you read her autobiography. But she shares stories of God answering the prayers of her and her team there in Zaire. And she shares a very famous story about delivering a baby one night there in Zaire. And, of course, they're out in the middle of the bush. There's no electricity. There aren't modern medical equipment is not available. And the baby is born premature. And so she knows that what the baby needs is an incubator to keep the baby warm and to keep the baby healthy. And so she had already devised a homemade incubator using water bottles. And so where she could take premature babies, use these water bottles in this incubator to keep them alive, that they would then grow. And so she goes to set up the incubator and realizes that the water bottle has burst. Searches high and low, and they have no water bottle. And she knows as a medical doctor that the baby will not make it a day, maybe two, without intervention. And so she goes to the villagers and she says, we need to pray and we need to ask the Lord to provide a water bottle, for without it, the baby will die. And she records in her autobiography that she asked for volunteers, and only one volunteer raised their hand to pray. And it was a 10-year-old little girl. And this is what she prayed. Dear Jesus, would you please give us a new water bottle? And while you're getting it, would you get a baby doll for me? She said, well, we all said amen, and it was a simple prayer. And she said, I really didn't understand how God would do that, but we trusted the Lord. The very next day from Zaire, a truck pulls up with boxes from the United States that churches were sending from the States to support their medical mission there in Zaire. And so they begin to open the boxes, and this 10-year-old girl is there helping. And she reaches down into the box, and she says, Dr. Rosevere, what is this? And she holds up a brand new water bottle. She hands it to Dr. Rosier, and the little girl reaches down As she's going through cans of beans and bags of rice, she finds something else and she pulls it out. And she says, Dr. Rose Greer, Jesus heard and he put a baby doll in with the hot water bottle. And there was a baby doll. And in the box was a letter from a small church in Mississippi, United States. And it says, we couldn't afford much, but we hope that this water bottle, some beans and rice, and a baby doll will be a blessing to you. And the letter is dated 5 months before the baby was born. 5 months before the baby was born. That's the God we serve. Amen? That's the God we serve. He knows what we need before we know what we need. And he's promised to provide. So what do we do? What do we do with all this? This purpose of prayer and the power of prayer and the person of prayer and the promise of prayer. Well, what do we do with it? Well, let's go away thinking about it in these terms. The purpose of prayer, right? Do you remember the purpose of prayer? And James says that we're praying for God to meet the physical and spiritual needs. We've done that several times already together this morning, have we not? Praying for our friends from other countries, right? And so purpose of prayer, I would just take a picture of this. Think about it this week. Who am I currently praying for? Who am I currently praying for? And if the list is short, maybe ask God to grow your list a bit. Maybe if there's just two or three people you're praying for, ask the Lord to lay another person on your heart. Who are you praying for? You're talking to Jesus about these people. That would be the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer. How have I seen God work recently? You know, it's important that we keep a journal where we celebrate God's good works. I added Max's guitar to our list. Lord, you worked powerfully. And I want to add it to the list because I want to praise you and thank you and give you all the glory. Sometimes, guys, we become so focused on what's not happening, we can forget to thank God for what has happened. The power of prayer. The person of prayer, how regularly do I seek God in prayer? Again, hear me. This is not for condemnation or guilt. Just ask yourself, like, how much time do I spend talking to God? And could I maybe increase that? And that's between you and the Lord, yeah? But at least ask him. Like, Lord, do I need to maybe wake up a bit earlier? Do I need to play less and pray more? Like, I don't know how you might phrase it, but just ask the Lord. I heard someone say, I doubt any of us will get to heaven and complain that we pray too much. And then lastly, the promise of prayer. Where am I believing God to work? Where am I believing God to work? Where do you need a water bottle and a baby doll? Where do you need a water bottle and a baby doll, and are you trusting God to do it? Hold on to him. His promises never fail. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and true. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, I'll never be able just to walk in Buckingham Palace and meet with the king. I'll never be able to roll up into the White House and meet with the president. There are loads of places I'll never get access to. But Lord, thank you that Jesus, because you died for us, that we who know you and love you can become, we can come into the very throne room of the all-powerful, all-loving God of the universe. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way. Thank you, Jesus, that the Bible says that you sit at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Like, Jesus, you're praying for us right now. Jesus, you're praying for asylum seekers by name. You're praying for my neighbor Dave by name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful tool, this gift of prayer. And Lord, I would confess that kind of like that trampoline, I often try to do things in my own strength, and it's really frustrating and hard. And Lord, may we all be reminded of the beautiful gift of prayer, that as we come to you, making our requests known to you, it's not simply that you'll provide, we know you will, but you'll change us, you'll transform us, and you'll make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Would you do that for your glory and our good? We humbly ask in Jesus' name.